Hello, folks. Before we get to Andre's solo midweek show, I'd just like to take a moment to thank and welcome our new sponsor, Mamma Mia's Camera World. They have the largest selection of Mamiya cameras, lenses, and accessories on the planet. Come on in to Mamma Mia's Camera World to buy, sell, or just browse. Also, don't forget to visit their in-store cafeteria for the finest in canned pasta dishes. One visit, and you will scream, Mama Mamiya! All right. Andre sent me these files for the show yesterday, and I edited it last night, and I was just getting ready to publish it this morning. And then I realized it's Mr. Andre Dominguez's birthday. So I just wanted to wish Andre a happy birthday, and all the people that, the listeners that listen to this episode, how about sending Andre a message through Facebook Messenger or direct message through Instagram to his account, Andre on Film, and just flood his inbox with happy birthday wishes so he has to spend most of his birthday thanking people and answering messages back. So I think it would be a fun way to bother Andre today. But happy birthday, Andre, and let's go on and get to Andre's midweek solo show. Everybody stay positive, shoot some cool film photos. Watch out! It's another episode of the Negative Positives Podcast, coming to you from Los Angeles, the City of Angels, La La Land, California. It's everyone's favorite co-captain, Andre Dominguez.
Welcome back to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode number 207. I am your co-host, Andre Dominguez, coming at you from the City of Angels with another solo show. So the topic that I want to talk today is kind of the film photographer's EDC. And if you're not familiar with the term EDC, it stands for Everyday Carry. This is something that I've been kind of thinking about recently as I've trying to push myself to get out during my lunch break, walk around on Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard near the office, and get some photography done. I know that that's only further building up the backlog of roles that I still have to develop, but it is in the very kind of busy Monday through Friday work week, getting me to actually shoot, which is always a plus. So, what are kind of the things that I would like to, you know, encourage people to have in their EDC when it comes to, you know, taking a bag with them to work or on their commute and trying to get some photography done? Obviously, the first one is the camera. I would recommend that you have the camera out kind of accessible to you. If you are taking the metro, for example, you know, don't have it stashed away in the bag. Have it out with you so that you can capture, you know, interesting thing that happens in the metro stations or on the bus. Alternatively, if you are driving to work, you know, leave the camera in the cup holder or the glove compartment or even the passenger's seat right next to you so that you're able to grab it at a moment's notice and you know, take a picture of something interesting. Obviously, only in a safe way and making sure that you're not doing so distracted while you're driving. But that's kind of the idea, is to be ready, be present. But also, one thing that I really enjoyed about this week, kind of trying to implement this always having a camera with me, is the fact that a cool looking vintage film camera, and I don't really like saying vintage camera, anyway, is a great conversation starter with both other film shooters as well as you know, particularly older people who may have shot film back in the day. A cool looking film camera is kind of like a I don't want to call it a badge of honor, but it's a marker to everybody around you that this is a hobby that you enjoy. This week I had a conversation started with two people, actually. One was an older gentleman at the farmer's market when I brought my Rolleiflex. who, you know, saw that I had a Rolleiflex around my neck, a very kind of eye-catching, iconic-looking camera, and started up a conversation with me about how he used to take his Rolleicord with him traveling as a journalist, which I thought was such a cool little thing. It was no more than maybe a 1 or 2 minute conversation, but, you know, really, really appreciated talking to him. Of course, the whole question of do they still make film for that came up, and it was a great little opportunity to sort of inform and also learn about how it was back in the day. He said that he would, you know, develop his own film in the bathtub, which is not too dissimilar from my current printing setup. And then on the other side, in Hollywood proper, on my lunch break last week, I had a person literally kind of run out of a cafe that they were, you know, working in, just, you know, writing out some notes and ask if the camera that I was shooting was a Olympus XA. I decided to take the little compact Olympus XA out with me to do some street photography on Hollywood Boulevard, and the person who ran out was looking for that exact camera, you know, started asking about, you know, what I felt about it. Was the rangefinder patch too dim? Clearly, you know, an enthusiast looking for their next inspiring piece of gear. I obviously mentioned the very kind of deeply personal story that I have with the Olympus XA, what with it being a huge factor and influence in my recovery from heart surgery. So that camera holds a very, very special place in my heart. And yeah, once again, great conversation starter, both to current film shooters and film shooters of the past. Wear your cameras with pride. Keeping them outside of the bag is not only the best way to be ready and present to capture a moment, but also is an opportunity to kind of advertise to everybody out there that this is something that you're passionate about and you want to have a conversation about it. All right, so that kind of wraps up my semi-rambly ideas about the camera. The other thing that I want to talk about are prints. You guys have probably heard other people talk about that idea of carrying a few prints in your camera bag or in your purse or in your backpack as a way of sharing your work. We can all kind of, you know, parrot out our Instagram handles or pull out our phones and sort of show the kind of images that we shoot to people that we meet on the street or other film photographers, but it really is something completely different to be able to pull out a print. And it doesn't have to be a darkroom print. Obviously, you know, you're gonna get major film nerd cred if you pull out a nice, you know, darkroom print. But even something as simple as, you know, your CVS or Walgreens pharmacy 4x6 prints, having something tangible to show people what kind of photos you take and what you do photographically is really, really an interesting way to share your work. It can kind of show people what sort of photography you do, so that if you're doing, you know, if you're asking to take somebody's portrait on the street, they have something to kind of expect and that might kind of get them to say yes more often. If you, you know, if you see somebody on the street that you want to take a picture of, you know, go ahead and start like pulling some prints out of your bag as you're walking towards them. You know, compliment them, say, I don't know, compliment the what they're wearing or their sunglasses or anything, and ask if you could take a portrait and hand over the prints of something similar to that kind of street portrait style that you may have done. It's probably a good way to get more yeses than nos. Alternatively, it can diffuse situations if, say, you're photographing in an area where, you know, people aren't super keen, or like, you know, ask what are you doing if there's a security guard or it's someone's near someone's property. Being able to pull out a print and say, oh, I'm a hobbyist photographer, or if you're a professional photographer, it doesn't really matter, to be able to pull out a print and say, oh, I'm a photographer, this is kind of what I do, people probably, those kinds of people who are more likely to kind of get mad at you for taking pictures in certain situations, are probably going to be much less likely to want to, you know, look at your Instagram feed if you pull out your phone. Whereas if you could pull out a print and show them directly, you know, I'm a photographer, this is kind of the style of photos that I take. There is the possibility, the potential of sort of diffusing some kind of those situations. So there's obviously a lot more that can go into your film photography everyday carry, but having the camera out and with you and having a few prints in your bag, I think are two really simple things that you can do to really kind of elevate the experience of shooting film. It may not necessarily make your pictures any better, but it can make the process of going out and taking pictures, even if, you know, it's not for a very long time. If the only time that you really have to take pictures is a few minutes on your commute every day, I think doing those two things is really going to make, or has the potential to make that experience a lot more enjoyable. All right, so next up we have a call-in camera review from Jason Konopinski on the Petri Color 35, another compact little 35mm camera, kind of, you know, similar to the Olympus XA in many ways. So let's shoot it over to Jason to talk about the camera.
Hey, Mike and Andre, this is Jason Konopinski calling in with a call-in camera review. I'm actually sitting here in my office, sitting holding a Petri Color 35 in my hand. Great little zone focused. Stop short of calling it a rangefinder because it doesn't actually have a proper rangefinder, but I think it's a really understated and undervalued little 35mm. If you understand the limitations. I've often said that I think this is, you know, that this camera for me is functionally superior to the beautiful aesthetic of the Rolly 35. And I know that may be an unpopular opinion because these, you know, this little camera, bottom loading 35mm, really kind of at the same form factor as the Olympus 35, the Rolly 35, little, like I said, a little zone focus. So I'll kind of go through the kind of features and, you know, kind of just an overall review on how I utilize this camera to its maximum advantage and where it shines, where it may show its limitations. And I think it's what's really beautiful about this is that it has challenged me to rethink the way that I frame shots because of the functional limitations. So I'm looking down at the aperture dial. So the top plate of the camera has two small rotary dials. One for aperture goes from 2.8 all the way to f/22. And then the shutter speed dial is ratcheted, you know, so it's a hard stop. Goes from a 15th of a second to 2/50th of a second plus bulb, which is actually an unusual addition to this camera. What makes it actually really beautiful to use is that the aperture setting, the aperture ring is non-stopped. So like I said, this is on the top plate of the camera, so you can actually rotate it through. Looking through the viewfinder, does have a ring and needle light meter. And so here's how I utilize this camera. You know, when the, like I said, zone focus from anywhere from portrait to landscape, say about 3.5 feet onto infinity is the focusing range. And you can utilize it in that way. You know, you can do it that where, you know, that there's, because it is somewhat limited in the way that you can utilize the shutter speeds. Ooh, actually forgot one thing. Sorry for as I ramble through here. Selectable ASA from 25 ASA all the way up to 800. And then the metering system works based on that. Really great, solid advancing. Small leaf shutter. Like I said, it's a fixed 2.8 lens, 40mm from the Petri camera company. This is the first, not the first. This is a Japanese answer, like I said, to the Rolly 35. And here's why I really enjoy utilizing this camera, because it does challenge the way that you utilize it a little bit. So if I'm looking through the camera and I'm selecting based on aperture, It actually is, I think the design of this camera really benefits utilizing a smooth, I would say less that it's not really, while it's not designed to be a shutter priority camera, the fact that the shutter dial is a hard stop, and you can really, and it's, there's no indication through the viewfinder as to what your shutter speed is set at, that really you're bringing it into focus, or rather bringing it into the proper exposure based on aperture alone. So as I'm doing that and I'm looking through this camera, I can utilize it in a couple of different ways. You know, I can utilize a little bit of math, or maybe take a look at a piece of paper that has some kind of zone focusing set. And that's kind of where I typically use it. Even though this camera does have a light meter built in, I tend to utilize F16 and utilize that really broad depth of focus, or excuse me, not depth of focus, depth of field, to my advantage, so that I'm not taking the camera away from my eye, missing an opportunity to shoot, and I'm just utilizing kind of like a set it and forget it kind of method. And that way I can set it to a specific focus. For me, for F11 to F16 is about 5 meters onto infinity. Excuse me, 5 feet to infinity at that scale. And that's really, it's a great way to use it. This is a great little street photography camera, because it's so quiet, you know, tiny, tiny little leaf shutter, really just really functional in the hand, really solid to carry. And I'm really love to see this camera get a little bit more of attention. I picked mine up at a local like Goodwill charity shop for like $20, and it's been an absolute joy for me to use. Does feature a PC sync. So it does actually have a hot shoe. So if you want to shoot flash, it is capable of working with that. I actually put a little soft release button on mine. Like I said, it's a great, great little camera. Really love to shoot it. And I'd love to see it get some attention. And, you know, I know that you're just heard from Sherry Christensen about the Frugal Film project. And this is my camera of choice. I'm actually going to test my limits with it a bit and see what I can get. Like I said, it's been an absolute joy to use, and I'd love to see it get a little bit more of attention. The Petrie line of cameras, you know, in some circles have a reputation for being really reliable until they break, and there is a certain inevitability in them breaking. I haven't experienced this. I've had this camera for about 2 years, and it's been nearly my daily shooter in that time. Kind of one that I always carry in my bag, and it's great for the kind of small shots because it's so unassuming in design and so unassuming in the palm of the hand that it's really easy to carry. Doesn't add any additional weight. Can be a number two shooter if I'm out with TLR, if I'm out with another camera shooting street. Just like I said, it's a real joy to use. Love to send some photos on to you guys. And when Sherry posts the bio for my participation in the Frugal Film Project, you will see a photo of this particular camera. Like I said, this will be my chosen weapon of choice throughout that project. And so I'm really looking forward to exposing more people to this camera. If you can find one, I haven't checked the prices on eBay or, you know, anywhere the online sources. It was a real find for me. I was really struck by the really beautiful and functional design in a way that the Rolly 35, while is absolutely beautiful to look at, is such a pain in the ass to shoot because of the positioning of the dials. So anyway, hope you guys enjoy the review. Look forward to checking out with, you know, hearing from you guys soon, and have yourselves a great day. Peace.
All right. Thank you so much, Jason, for that call-in camera review. To all the listeners out there, if you would like to review a camera that you own, make sure to record your voice either via the Anchor app with the 1 minute call-in function, or just with whatever voice recording apps you have on your smartphone, and email that to this program at negpositives@gmail.com. All right, thank you so much for staying with us during this short little solo show. Hope you enjoyed it. You can see my film and watch photography on Instagram at AndreOnFilm. Be sure to email this podcast at negpositives@gmail.com with your questions, call-in camera reviews, or anything else. Join the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group to keep up to date with the personal projects, inside jokes, and general hilariosity of our wonderful listeners. And last but not least, be sure to follow Negative Positives on Instagram, run by, of course, friend of the show, Bryce Randall. Make sure to use the hashtag Negative Positives so that Bryce can share your images with the rest of us. Without further ado, everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
Gutter Man Cave Production!